Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
All right, Dave, you're the host today.
All right, I think that's the way it really should be, don't you think?
I thought you guys are skipping me over as host.
No.
You did last week.
We're not.
I did?
Skipping you over. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
You did the last episode, my friend. And we got a whole bunch of blowback on it.
Why?
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
From your buddies? What's the blowback? What's it?
Don't tell Omar. He just walked away. But it's really my family. My sister's like, don't have Omar host again.
What the fuck? Actually, I think that's right. But yeah, I'm going to say it in a way that I think is nice to Omar.
Okay, go ahead.
I it's best I'm the straight guy. And if I host, establish me as the straight man. Like, Omar needs to be the guy that lobs in the bombs.
Yeah.
As well as you.
Okay.
So I think that you kind of, it's setting you guys
up. Hey, cut your losses. He's done. He's already bought in.
Yeah, he's okay. I actually think it's to your credit. It's not, that's probably best.
Yeah, you keep spinning,
but
you
up
done.
You guys knock
Dave,
out.
It's done. He's bought in. His feelings are not hurt. It's perfect.
Well, do you want to host it, or what's your...
I wouldn't mind hosting like every third.
Okay.
But I don't need to do back and forth.
Well, we can decide as we go. But I like when you host. It's not just that I think I host better. I don't think it's that. I think it's the interactions with each other work better if snarking on me rather than me snarking on him. What I'm saying?
All I know is we have successfully removed Omar from hosting, and his feelings are not hurt, and it's wonderful.
No, he's Teflon. He doesn't get hurt.
That mission is complete.
Well, I mean, I
Oh, Omar, what are you doing here?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop.
Bensound.com.
I am your host, Dave, back in the saddle hosting... last episode's just fine hosting podcast, I think was done, but I think we've come back to the original hoster. I'm the kind of the OG of hosting, if you will. And yes. I think that's probably a good thing. So I'm glad to be back. Looking forward to, I think this is episode 58 is what I have.
58. Yeah.
So 58. Now the podcast is now older than all of us.
Yes.
Not that I'm even close to 58, but it's now older than all of us. Well past Omar's dating range.
Yes.
Let me start by introducing my hosts and seeing how they're doing, what they're up to. I'll start with you, Josh. Josh, how you doing this week?
I'm doing all right. I felt better. A little under the weather from my recent trip to see you out in St. Louis.
That's right.
See you and the rest of the team. That was fun. So I'm going to call you out on something, Dave, and then I also want to tell you what happened in St. Louis. This is a minor thing, but I thought it just really got on my nerves, and I couldn't believe it. So last night, I'm in the hotel room, right? And I changed hotels, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. I changed hotels to the one by the airport, make it easier.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And I'm in there, and I'm not feeling good. My throat hurts. I'm exhausted. I'm just feeling, like, spent. I'm like, I'm just going to get – room service. I just want to get just some food up here and call it a night. Watch the basketball game.
Okay, let's take a break here.
What are we taking a break for?
I'm already falling asleep with this fucking story.
I'm just giving. It's called a setup, Omar. This is called a setup.
What do you think Josh orders in room service? A hamburger,
okay, first
or fries?
Of all, can I tell the story first?
Okay, fine.
And then you can do your little guessing.
Can you give the name of the hotel so I can give a guess of the?
It was the Marriott. Okay. The Marriott Airport.
Okay.
You know. Not the Drury,
which is the worst name for a
worst
hotel.
Worst name. Why would you name your Drury? It's like, it's, first of all, it's hard to say, number one, and then it sounds like it's like, ooh.
Dreary. Yeah.
Ooh, dreary.
The word dreary is very close
to
Drury. Yeah, that's right.
What a stupid name. It's we have a place down in Philadelphia. It's just parking, but it's called All Right Parking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Look, even if it's, even if that's your last name, I wouldn't, it's like, it's not good parking. Like, it's all right. It's not bad parking. What would you name it?
Well,
it's,
this would be more like if it was called depressing or something, or like, it's not depressing, but it's very close to depressing. That, why would you immediately associate, like, why would I want to go up to the depressing hotel? Like, that's,
it's ridiculous.
Right? Yeah. All right. Sorry.
So I'm, so that's my setup, Omar. I'll finish. I'm done painting the scene for you because you don't want to hear it. And so I'm looking around the room. I'm like, where's the menu? You know, there's normally they put a menu in every single room. I'm like, I don't see a menu anywhere. So now there's an app where you can chat with the front desk. So I go on the app and I put in, hey, where do I get the menu for room service? Thinking that maybe it's an online thing. Cause I also looked on the hotel's website. Couldn't find it on the hotel's website. So then no one's answering me back on the chat. That thing is completely useless.
Just
no.
So
our listeners should know that Josh works for an organization that has the generosity of Donald Trump at a charity event. So I'm assuming this is a one, maybe two-star hotel.
Josh, no, better not be two-star.
It's
Was there heat and or air conditioning in this hotel?
There was.
Did your room have windows?
It did have windows. Yes, it did. Okay.
Bars on it, but
yeah. were there bars.
Did you do the test in terms of stains on the sheets?
No, I don't ever want to do that because that is something that I just want to turn a blind eye, so to speak. Ignorance is bliss in that department.
Agreed.
Was there running water?
Yes, there was running water and it was hot.
Okay.
So anyway, so I figured, you know what? I'm not getting an answer. I'm getting hungry. I want to go to bed early because I'm so tired. I had an early flight. I used the phone. And I don't like to touch that phone, but thankfully it had a speaker. So I pushed the speaker. I called down. And I said, hey, is there room service available? They're like, yeah, we have room service. I said, great. Where's the menu? Because I don't think I have one in my room. They said, oh, we don't put it in the room. I said, oh, okay. Is it online? No. You can't get it. I said, well, where can I get it? How can I find out what you have? Oh, it's down here by the restaurant. And I went, that defeats the whole purpose of room service. So if I have to get dressed, put on shoes, and go to the restaurant to order my food, that's ridiculous.
That's not room service. That's food takeout.
That's food. Thank you.
Yeah, they shouldn't call that room service.
The whole essence of room service is I don't want to put my pants on, so you come and bring me my dinner. That should be the definition of room service. All right.
Wait a minute. When they bring the food, will you not put your pants on?
No, I put my pants on. Okay. But that's basically, you know.
Are you Kobe O'Brien?
Kobe O'Brien?
O'Brien. Yeah, sorry. The Irish version, yeah.
So you know what I did? Now you can guess what I ordered because I'm going to tell you what I did.
Okay.
Omar, would you like to guess what I ordered? Is that the little game you want to play?
I have to think that you're a comfort food kind of guy, right? So you're definitely getting like something that's heavy on carbs and some and meat. So maybe it's a cheesesteak, maybe it's pizza, maybe it's French fries with a hamburger, something like that. Dave, what are you?
Well, that's a pretty you've basically named every room service menu. I'll say
burger salad or like fish.
No. You should never order fish at the hotel.
By the airport.
By the airport in St. Never. Louis. None of that moved it. So I would say burger and fries.
So you guys are almost there. But I said to him, I said, do you guys have a turkey club? And they said, yeah. I said, I'll take that. I don't need to see the rest of the menu. And I'm not going to have you read it to me. So that's what I went with. I went with the turkey club.
And you went down and got it? They didn't?
No. I got it room service.
Oh, you did?
What they're telling me is if you want room service, I have to go all the way down to the restaurant. Look at the menu, and then either go upstairs and then phone in what I want, or I guess tell somebody and give them my room number, then go back upstairs and wait for it.
Yes, that is stupid. That's very stupid. Yes, that's,
so stupid. Anyway,
unless they give you a menu on when you check in, or that sounds. But I'm sorry you went through that hardship. What were you mad at me for?
I'm going to call you out because Omar. I want you to listen to this because Dave has been telling us a little bit of a lie, okay, over these last few episodes. Dave, where were you last Monday night? This is not hard to think of, Dave. It was an unusual place for you to be on Monday night.
On Monday night, I was home here. No,
no, you weren't.
Where was I?
You were at the Packers game.
A Sunday night.
Oh, that was a Sunday night game? I thought it was a Monday night game. Sunday night game. So he was at the Packers game, right? And when I saw him, by the way, great game, thrilling.
Oh, unbelievable.
Down to the wire.
So fun.
And then when I saw him Tuesday night, he was watching the Milwaukee Bucks game.
Oh, I see where you're going.
So what's happened here? Someone who has basically sworn off sports because he can't handle the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride
honestly, I think of the three of us, the person whose word I would sort of put the least amount of weight in is clearly Dave. Even before you mentioned this, yet another data point.
Yeah, another lie. Just put another lie on the pile. Well, first of all,
the Bucks game was
on the screen, and it was like you couldn't avoid it, and they were winning. So I got if they were behind by 20, I wouldn't have even looked up at that screen. They were ahead by 20, so I was interested.
I'll give you that.
The second is my Packer game that I attended in person. Those tickets were bought probably 8-9 months ago. So this was before my depression of how my sports teams are doing. However, the Packers have made a complete 180 from my last podcast. I'm all back in, baby. Jordan Love is my guy. I am all in. I take it all back.
Switcheroo, what a 180.
The key thing is that if they win, I'm in. If they lose, I'm out. It's pretty simple. Yeah.
But you didn't have a choice to know the ending when you were there. That's
true. It was. I didn't love the fact that it was a tight game, but it's stressful. It's very stressful.
I'm really happy that we spend more time virtually. The three of us have nothing in common. Like mentioned at this Packers game we went to, he's wearing like foot warmers and hand warmers. And I have no interest in being that uncomfortable watching something. And you clearly do the same thing at your stupid Eagles games, right?
Yeah, but I tell you, as I get older.
Bad to be when I get out of the house? Is this why you do?
No.
Now, as I get older, I have less tolerance for it. I got to be honest with you. There was a game where my buddy and I were looking and the weather was calling for pouring rain, and we noticed that it was not going to be a 50-50 chance. It was happening. And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, no, let's sell these tickets. We don't need to, I don't need to sit out in pouring rain in cold and get sick. And so that's different. That's a different day and age for me now.
Yeah, that's not my preference either. And
I don't want to do it anymore.
I was stuck. I told my new son-in-law and his dad, who are Chiefs fans, next time the Packers play the Kansas City Chiefs, we'll go in person and see it. And it happened to be in Green Bay. Why am I getting an echo?
Yeah, you got an echo there.
Omar, why are you making me echo?
Is it Omar?
No, I assume so. It happened in Green Bay in December, so I had no choice but to do it. I bundled up. Do you do hand warmers and feet warmers?
Of course. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. You stick them on the bottom of your feet.
Yeah.
If it's that bad, I layer up like nobody's business.
I am not being cold.
I do not want to sit there and shiver.
Right. All right. Well, it's good that you're back safely, although you're now sick, so we'll look forward to hearing.
I'm a little sick. Yeah.
I can tell what your next episode topic's going to be. Omar, you're next. You're in Puerto Rico, it looks like. How are you doing this week?
Let's see. How am I doing? I've been here for 10 days in a row, so I'm very excited about that. I have a routine with Miles, which is nice. Let's see. What type of anything?
What is that noise? Is there music playing?
Yeah, can you guys hear it?
Yes, that's why
playing?
I said
listen to music
playing. I don't say, is there music playing if I don't hear it?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
You
got Winford Marsalis in your den?
I spent 10 days in my best friend's home, his dream home in St. Bart's. And it's very odd when your best friend, who you've known for 20 years, is all of a sudden, you know, has a certain level of their, let's say, financial success.
Wealth.
Yeah, and it is wealth with a cop with a capital D. You know what I mean? And so
with a W. How do you spell?
Yeah, a W. Yeah, capital. Yeah, a capital W.
Right.
And so now, what's interesting here is that the one it's in St. Bart's, which is a French owned.
Not too shabby.
And well, here's the thing, is that you know I can go there right now if I want, and it's my home because we're so close. It's that level of comfort. And so the one problem, I don't know if you guys know this about the French, but besides like being incredible bakers, right? Incredible lovers, and they don't know anything about making coffee, espresso.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
And so I've been going to this island for a long time with him and his family, who are my godkids, et cetera. And I'm just so tired of having bad lattes and trying to find it on the island. So now
the struggle is real.
What a trooper you are.
Real. Yeah.
This house that was built, okay, this house that was built is literally quite possibly, not that it needs to be, but the nicest house on the island. It is architects, engineers, blah, 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 blah. Everything.
This story keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
How can you handle that? No bad coffee.
I don't understand this.
There's no
torture.
Espresso machine.
Oh, man.
There's one of those like Nestle cup things.
Oh, my God.
It is an abomination. Abomination. Right? So
I'm sorry.
So the architects are in going through the house, but we stayed there for the first time again a week or two ago. And I pull one of them over and I give him $20. And I go, hey, listen, what can we do about this coffee situation? And he goes, send me any machine you want because I actually order it with the different plugs and we'll get it. And so he sent me a link today with the Hura, J-U-R-A, Hura Z10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have a Hura Z9, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's a $5,000 machine.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
it changes your life. And he sent me a Z10, and he goes, "It just sounds." And so I'm saying to myself, "Do I ask my friend? Is he not going to know the difference?" In other words, my friend.
Oh, you're going to exchange the 9 for the 10?
No, no. My point is, he's paying for the espresso. My friend doesn't even drink that. So he drinks black coffee.
So you're going to order it and make him pay for it, this machine.
Yeah.
I do like Josh's idea. You order it, swap it out. You get the 10, he gets the 9.
No.
Right. That's what I thought you were saying.
Amazing. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
But my point is, do I really need to let him know? It would be the equivalent, okay, of like Josh giving me money to go buy him a pack of gum at the gas station. And me saying, you want, he gives me like $5. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go buy a pack of Chiclets. And I wouldn't mention it to Josh. I'll give the change back. Right? But I got a free pack of Chiclets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My point is, do I need to tell Josh about the Chiclets? Probably not.
You told me, can I have money for gum in your story? Did you say to Brett, I'm going to order an espresso machine?
No. I said I needed to solve this because he wants me to live there with him longer.
Yeah.
So I need to have certain things.
And he said, fine.
Yep. No, he doesn't want to ask him. You don't want to ask him, do you?
He knows how much this stuff costs.
So this guy that orders it for you is just going to charge your buddy $5,000 and call it a day.
Which, by the way, is probably what he pays a day for maintaining the goddamn property.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, question.
Yeah.
Is there a level, regardless of the percent of the wealth of the person, but if it's above X,
this doesn't matter. This is the question.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Because I remember Gary Goldman did a bit about
– Yes, Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. He said, I found $20 in my pocket. If Bill Gates – the equivalent for Bill Gates to find $20 in his pocket, he'd have to find like, you know, $25 million or something.
He made a comparison of him finding 20 versus what Bill Gates would have to find in his pocket to have the same excitement.
Same enjoyment. Right.
Very funny. That's
but
true.
Is there a level – can he make this a relative question? Can he – it's so small for his buddy – but it's still a significant dollar amount to the world. Like, should he tell him? I guess the more important question is, can we go there? I think that's what I want. That's the real question. Because we're your buddy and you're his buddy.
Yeah.
What's our rights?
That's called the transitive property, Dave. That's transitive property.
I'm pretty sure you guys can go. So
then then get the coffee.
Then
machine,
I think it's fine.
I like coffee.
I think it's perfectly fine.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
So anyway, so I think where he's going with this, I'm going to take a different tone on this.
Right.
It's not a lot of money on relative to his friend, but it's still, you're still spending his money. See what I'm saying?
Well, but he's saying, like, for you, though, if he borrowed $5,
no,
he gave you $5 or something and he bought gum with it, even though you expected to, I don't know, but it's so small, you wouldn't care if he didn't tell you. That's what he's saying is it.
No, no, no. The analogy is flawed. If I had an account at the CVS and he said, put it on his, I'll get gum at CVS, put it on Josh's account.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the analogy.
Yeah. That's a better one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You win. You win, analogy maker.
Thank you. Thank you.
Although, should he tell you? Should he tell you he's putting gum on your account?
Yeah. He should say, look, I didn't have money. I used your account to buy gum. And I would say fine, but if you don't say anything and I go, who the hell bought gum, when I see my itemized list at the end of the month.
All right, now you're giving a mixed answer. We told him it was okay to buy it because of our selfishness.
Right. That's right.
We want to go there. But
right.
The real answer is you probably should tell your buddy.
You probably should say, hey, but frame it like this. Hey, Brett, great news. I got you a Z2110 or whatever the hell it's called, and you're going to friggin' love it. You're welcome. And then you say, you're welcome.
All he has is all he wants is Americanos, water and
Does it make it? Does it make Americanos? Does
yeah.
it?
Yeah, it
done.
Does.
Oh, there
done.
He is. Yeah,
done.
He's
done. Done.
You should done. Get paid for your work.
All right.
Good. Yeah, for your effort. Nice. Well, someone can ask me how I'm doing. Feel free.
Oh, yeah, Dave. How are you? How are you? How
are thanks. You thanks for asking. I'm doing good. That. I did. I went to Green Bay and saw the Packers beat the Chiefs, which was, I have to say, the best game I've seen up at Lambeau Field in my life. It was my most favorite game. The game was great. The weather was fantastic. I mean, it was cold, but I want it to be cold if I'm going to go once every other year. Or so.
Why? Why? Why?
Because
it makes you feel skinny. Why?
Because that's what you think of when you think of the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. You want to go when it's
frozen tundra Lambeau Field.
80
absolutely.
Degrees outside. That's
John Facenda.
Right. It's like you don't want to go to, I don't know, Seattle and have it not rain. Like it's
you kind of do.
Yeah.
That's a bad analogy.
Maybe you're an analogy. What's the analogy?
Let's
Josh?
Leave the analogies to me.
All right.
All right.
But here's the real story.
Yeah. Yeah.
My really good news?
Yes.
Is I found out recently, I think it might have been after the last podcast, but I'm not sure, but I wasn't ready to say. I am going to be a grandfather.
No way.
I am going to be a grandfather. So
that is crazy.
And you know, this little tyke, you know, he's the size of a lemon, I'm told, has already been to Lambeau Field and done the jump round at Lambeau Field. That's, I think this kid is going to be amazing. He's already had his Green Bay Packer experience. So
when is she due?
June. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, okay. We got some time.
Now, what do you want to be called?
That is the question. I was going to ask you guys that. So, my kids call my parents, Nana and Papa.
Okay.
So,
you like that?
But I can't do that for me. Like, then it gets confusing because there's too many. So I think you need to skip a generation with the names. I do.
Interesting.
So my kids are going with Gimpy, which I'm like, no, not Gimpy.
Gimpy?
Well, they're trying to be mean to me.
Yes. That's quite
I think I am going with just Grandpa Erickson. I think I'm just going to go with Grandpa. So
just Grandpa. Okay, Grandpa. Don't put your name into it, though.
Well, that's what we would call my – you can edit that out if you want. That we would put, like, the last, you know, Grandpa. And
No. I don't mean for that reason. I mean, it's kind of formal.
Oh, really?
For the kids to call you that. Yeah, why can't you just call you Grandpa?
That's true. That's when he runs around the house. He's not going to say the full thing. But yeah, Grandpa.
I like Gimpy.
Gimpy is horrible. Yeah. All right. Doesn't Grandpa make you feel old though?
It does, but
yeah,
that's what I called my grandpa.
Name.
I just rose.
Right, but your grandpa's old.
He was old. Yeah, and I'm not old.
You're a young grandpa.
I think so. I feel like it. I feel like it. But. I just feel like that's I would, but everything else is, you know, like they're talking about Gigi for grandma.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Well, that's more a grandma Gigi. That's not,
right. I get that, but that's not bad. That's
well. Do you have any suggestions? What do you go with?
Well,
what do you call your grandparents?
I have grandmom and grandpop on one side, or I did. Everyone's dead, and mom and pop up on the other side. And then so I called my grandparents on my mother's side, mom and pop up, and my kids call my parents mom, mom and pop up.
Mama and pop pop?
Yeah, mom, mom, pop, pop.
Mom, mom.
Yeah, mom, mom.
Pop, pop.
Yeah, pop, pop.
I've not heard that as an option.
You've never heard those names?
No, have you heard
that? Omar, have you ever heard that?
Mom, mom, and pop, pop?
Yeah.
No, what the fuck is it?
What? You've never heard that?
No.
You've never heard that as a name for
that.
Grandparents?
No.
They make greeting cards with that shit on it.
David, hold on. Josh, I've never heard. You know, maybe Josh's whole family has a history of Tourette's. It's the same thing twice.
Tourette's doesn't say everything
so
twice.
So it's stuttering, yeah.
It's stutter. You meant to stutter. Again, analogies, you leave it to me.
Just take the podcast over, Josh. We don't know.
That's right.
So I haven't figured that out. More to come. I feel like what'll happen is it'll just happen organically, and I'll just go
That's probably
it.
Right.
Because I don't remember making the vote for my parents of Nana and Papa. But it happened, and so I imagine it'll happen.
Why can't you create your own, like, name yourself?
You can.
Well, but if the kid doesn't use it, then what good is it?
Like, well, the kid is only going to use whatever the hell you tell him your name is.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is that true? That's sort of like whatever they can, like, get out early. And
that doesn't mean – yeah, they use whatever the hell they can – you tell them, hey, mm-hmm. I'm so-and-so, and that's what they'll call you.
Who is this?
Kids are good like that.
Yeah, okay.
How about Big Daddy?
I like Big Daddy. It's not bad. I think my daughter would have problems with it. Yeah. You've got like a whole circus going on over
there. What's going on over there, Omar? What's with all these noises and tones and music? And I mean, are you trying to trample over this?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I can't.
Are you upset you're not the host? Is that what it is? Are you trying to make
things? Are you sabotaging
much worse?
I don't want to be the host. And this is just so our listeners know, there is an intifada against me.
That's a bad word.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
That's another bad analogy. That's a bad analogy. A metaphor. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to business here. We got to get the podcast rolling here.
Definitely.
So first of all, let's go through some logistics. First, if you'd like to reach out to us and contact us, we'd love to hear from you. Say you want to say how offensive you found some things that we said. feel free to email us at friends@fts.media. That's friends@fts.media. We'd love to hear from you. In fact, we'd like to know if anyone's listening. Hi would be fine.
Let us know you're alive.
Do it right now. You're listening. Put pause right now. Go to your phone. Just friends@fts.media. H-I and send it. So
Send us something.
Or you could check out all of our cool stuff. Josh put together a great website.
A lot of cool stuff. A lot of new stuff.
Why are you giving Josh all the credit for the website?
Because I did it. Did you do any of the website?
And this is my problem with you, Josh. Yeah. You say the word I like it's like oxygen.
No. You just asked Dave. I didn't say anything. You asked Dave, why are you giving Josh the credit? And he told you.
Yeah.
And now you want to take some of the credit for something you did nothing about. Am I right about that?
Am I wrong? Did you do anything
actually,
on the website?
You want to know what? I got to say something. I just saw the website. Josh, it's all you. I don't want to have my any kind of credit for that website. it looks like a 3-year-old did it.
Oh, right. Please. Well, it's good.
And go there's some see new this content website. On there.
See Tell them where to find it, Dave.
It's at friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. That's friendstalkingshop, one word, .weebly.com. We'd love for you to go on there and probably a link to their email address, and that's where you can say hi to us. So let's get into the podcast. So what we continue to do, we've done this for 58 shows in a row. We may be running out of interesting things to talk about, but we're going to do it anyway. We each come up with a topic that we have not discussed ahead of time. And we discuss it and try to figure things out and learn life's lessons, whatever it is, find out what's going on in Omar's life, who he's dating, what's going on. So we will kick this off. I like the format of Josh, you going first. So, Josh, I think we will do that. I'm not favoring him, Omar. I find that the
– Listen, when you find a good leadoff hitter, you put him at the top of the lineup. That's
Yeah, Omar, you're like clean. Yep. Yeah, so
clean up or last, however you want to view it. That's it's all relative.
All right, go ahead, Josh. What do you got?
Look, this is going to be a kind of a Dave-esque topic that I'm going to bring up. not something that I've done in the past with my topics.
Oh God.
Omar already upset.
I'm looking forward to it.
This is Dave-esque. All right. That's all I'll tell you. So we, took my son back, after Thanksgiving break back to school and we brought all his, suitcases up to his room. And then we're just like, all right, you know, before we go, why don't we grab some lunch real quick? And so there's this pizza place that's supposed to be like, oh, it's like the it pizza place, for his school. So we went there and we sat down and we got pizza, obviously. And it was awful. It was bad pizza.
Oh my God.
Yes. It was bad
pizza. Now you've done it. Omar's upset.
I'm so sorry.
So listen. So, and particularly it was the crust and the underneath. It was like.
Where was this again? Where was it?
It's called Lido Pizza. I don't want to give them a bad name.
L-I-D-O-S. I know Lido's.
L-E-D-O. L-E-D-O.
In Maryland?
Yes. In Maryland.
Yeah.
And it's like they sponsor all the shit at the school and it's like. And we're like, oh, we got to get Lido Pizza. We've never had Lido Pizza. And it just wasn't good. It just wasn't good. And so we started to have this conversation, me and my family, about ranges of food. And so this is where the Dave-esque rub comes in on this. So I said, you know, pizza has a very large range. In other words, there's really good pizza. And then all the way down the spectrum, there's really shitty pizza. Like pizza that you almost don't even want to eat. You don't even, like, you
that's
get
rare.
It. It's okay. So that's interesting you say that. But I go to like St. Louis Pizza, Emo's. Yeah. I can't eat it.
The worst.
I can't even eat it. It's not even edible. So the range in pizza is incredibly large. And then my wife said, oh, that's very true of burgers. And I said, no, I disagree. I think the range in burgers is very tight. It's a very much tighter spread between the worst burger and the best burger versus the worst pizza and the best pizza. In other
time out a second. Your poor wife. I just feel so bad for her. I feel like if she says one little thing that's like just a little bit off, you're like, wham. Like, just on – being married to you must be an absolute nightmare.
It's quite a chore. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Incorrect.
But I just listen. You know, I'm not afraid to voice my opinion. Even it might go against my wife. But my wife was very much in agreement with me on the pizza. But the burgers, we disagreed. Even the worst burger, I felt like I can eat and be fine with. Even though I might go, yeah, it's not a great burger, but at least it's not awful. I can still eat the worst burger. If I could eat McDonald's burger. I could eat Burger King burger.
No. Wait.
That's not the lowest.
Wait a
okay,
second.
Whatever.
Yeah, but, a McDonald's burger is fucking delicious eating it.
It's not.
You clearly you have the palate, okay? You have the palate, Josh, of a truck driver. Okay. So I'm not even sure what you're talking about right now. David, is he even allowed to talk about food and what it tastes like?
Well, he's I would say, I think, have you had White Castle burgers? That to me is the emo's equivalent.
Yeah, but I can still at least eat it.
Oh really? I'm off with White Castle.
Listen, I'm not gonna go out of my way to eat White Castle. I'm just saying that the spread between White Castle and an amazing burger is much tighter than the spread between Emo's Pizza and a good New York thin crust.
Okay.
Crispy thin crust. That's all I'm saying.
All right,
and so we started to go through a couple others, and I want to get your opinion. This is the Dave-esque portion of my topic.
I see.
As to whether they're low-range or high-range foods, because I think you guys got the idea, right?
All right.
All right, I'm going to give you one more, because my daughter had ordered at this place mozzarella sticks, okay? And she's like, oh, I can't even eat these. And I just said, what are you talking about? They're mozzarella sticks. And I tried it, and I'm like, oh, this is really bad. And it's like the cheese was, like, not melted, so – mozzarella sticks, as crazy as it sounds, might have a pretty high range. Like, there's some mozzarella sticks that I don't want to touch, and they're really, really bad versus ones that are really, but I'm curious about it. So,
okay.
Let me name a couple, and then you tell me high range or low range.
All right.
So mozzarella sticks, what's your thought on that?
Well, if you're in the state of Wisconsin, if there is a high range, I mean, I had some, cheese curds and at some places. Yeah. Which would be a cheese stick cousin. Amazing. Like, so good. But the low end is like Burger King mozzarella sticks, and they all, like, they're all the same. Like, don't they all make, so I would think the range would be tight.
Tight. Okay. Interesting. Omar, you have an opinion on mozzarella sticks?
I think it's a bell-shaped curve.
Oh God. You know, you just can't give a normal answer. And it's
what does that mean? Well, is the bell shaped thin or wide? Is the tails fat or?
Yeah. Thin? Are the tails? Yeah. It could be a very steep bell shape. It could be a very flat bell shape.
That's the question.
Because I'm not 8 years old, I don't really eat. I don't really get cheese sticks.
Get the hell out of here.
Whatever the fuck you're talking about.
So, okay. Okay. All right. Smart ass.
You eat ice cream every day.
I'm about to have it in 10 minutes.
All right, smartass. How about steak? Is there a wide range of steak or low?
Oh, wide range steak.
I agree.
I want to always say the lowest.
And by the way, you know my view about like porterhouses and T-bones and whatever else, right?
I'm aware.
Oh, yeah, everyone knows your
yeah. We all know your view on those. Yeah.
By the way, name your low end. What is your low end?
Okay, so here are the low end foods that I've kind of just listed real quick.
Well, I mean, within your range, like Ponderosa is my low end steak.
Oh, you're talking about the steaks. Yeah. Look, anytime you get something like with gristle, where it's like you're chewing it, and it's like prepared well, or there's some bad meat, even doesn't matter if John George is cooking it up. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be that good. Right?
I was just wondering if, like, commercially.
I can't name
the low end. I think, have you been to Ponderosa?
We Sizzler or somewhere like that. That's got to be low end.
Yeah, that's the low. Well, I think, yeah, anyway. So I would say wide range for steaks.
Wide range for steaks. I agree. So here's some of my low range. Let me go back to my low range. Low range is tight. Tight, yeah. You know, the worst is not that much worse than the best.
Understood.
Eggs.
Yeah. Right? It's very hard to get bad eggs. Yeah.
It's very hard to get bad eggs.
Yeah,
well,
I guess
there could be, spoiled eggs, I suppose, but that doesn't count.
Okay. That's not what we're talking about.
This. Right. This topic's finally getting interesting to me. I like this.
Okay. Oh. Good. He's back.
Thanks for joining. So eggs we're kind of in agreement with.
All right.
Bacon.
Yeah. Bacon is tight.
Good one.
Correct. Tight. Worst bacon is still delicious. In fact, bacon might be the tightest food range I could think of.
Well, your question is interesting. You're talking about tight range, but
yeah.
Bacon, there is a high end on bacon. Like,
listen, there's a high end on all of this, Dave. What I'm saying is that the range between the worst and the best is small.
Well, I think I want to take your criteria differently because I still think a range could be high. It's that some foods have a high floor, what you're saying.
Ah, I see where you're going.
You know,
okay.
Like, because you can still...
Let's consider this high floor. Okay, there we go. All right, that's a good way to put it. How about donuts?
Donuts, high floor.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
there's very few donuts that I don't like.
Donuts. Right.
There's very few donuts where you just go, no, these are inedible.
Yeah, but not like bacon and not like, what was that one you said?
Eggs.
But not like that.
Yeah, not like that.
See, it's really high on the breakfast foods. Actually, the donuts that you dunk that have no frosting, I think that's a low.
Yeah, but those are, but hold on, you're confusing it. I'm not saying glazed versus powdered. I'm saying powdered versus powdered. Glazed versus glazed.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
High floor.
It's got to be the same thing.
Got it.
Here's one I'm going to group all together, but soups. Low range. Soups. Canned soup to me is edible. I can eat canned soup. I have no problems eating canned soup.
Hmm. Yeah, I think soups have. I think I agree. High floor on soups.
All right,
there we go. Hey, vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla, great. Another good one. Now you're participating. Thank you, Omar.
Yeah,
that's correct. That is a low floor. Here's a tricky one, because my wife and I disagreed on this one. Mac and cheese. Where do you guys stand with mac and cheese?
I would say high floor too. I think as long as there's an edible noodle, even if the cheese is, I'm a high floor.
Even the crappiest mac and cheese is still like, okay, it's mac and cheese.
Yep.
Omar?
Remember, he's not 8 years old.
I guess, you know what? No, I'm thinking about this, and I'm not a mac and cheese guy, but when it's ordered, I'll like always take a little bit just to try it.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think it's a pretty tight.
She thinks it's a high range. So she was very different than us on that one.
So for Omar, mac and cheese at the Four Seasons or the Ritz, it doesn't matter. It's all good.
It doesn't matter. Right? Yeah. Right. It's crazy. Matter. Even if you have to go down to the Four Seasons, you're still going to eat it. Yeah. That's right. What about wings? What about wings?
Ooh, wings are a good one.
Yeah.
Wings are the kind of thing, it's that kind of pizza. If I see wings on a menu, pizza I always order. If it's on a menu, I always order. I want to see what's going on with the pizza.
Okay.
Wherever I go. And I think wings are pretty tight as well.
Yeah, interesting. Mm,
I disagree. I think you can have bad wings.
You can have bad wings. I kind of agree with that. I was very torn on this one.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think you can have really bad wings.
Because the meat in there is kind of weird. So if you're not doing the seasoning and the, you know, I think you can have bad wings. I'm going to say low floor. Low floor.
All right. All right. Interesting. Sushi?
Low floor.
No,
come to St. Louis.
Very low. Very low floor. Omar, you agree with that, right? Wide range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's kind of where I was going with this. But, you know, there's a couple others I don't know. Chicken fingers, I think, is a very high floor.
High floor.
Very hard to get bad chicken fingers. I will go this way. On sandwiches, most sandwiches have a very high floor, in my opinion.
Hmm.
You agree with that? Disagree with that, I mean?
I'm not a sandwich guy. Really? So I really don't like – my problem is – still a picky eater. I don't like lettuce, tomato, onion, mustard.
But take that out of the equation. I'm just talking about this. Whatever, however you eat your sandwich, whether it's a turkey sandwich or however you eat it.
I suppose my ham and cheese sandwich is probably
that's what I'm saying.
It
that's
probably is. Saying. Yeah, I'll probably eat whatever.
Omar sandwiches.
Yeah, I don't think so because it involves too many other variables, right? The lettuce, the tomato, the bread, the meat,
the
sauce.
So you get some bad, so you have bad sandwiches. You think that floor can be really low on sandwiches. Yes?
Yeah, I won't order a sandwich. I generally anything fried as well, except for French fries.
Yeah, but again, you're confusing the thing. Huh? How about French fries? How about French fries?
French fries is good. High floor.
French fries I always want to try. High floor, I agree with David.
Yeah, right. Most French fries are good.
There are some bad fries. I've had bread fries, but for the most part, I'm going to give it the most part. I can eat whatever fries you put in front.
Yeah, I think that's
right. Is that
right.
Fair? Mm-hmm. All right. That is basically my – I was kind of curious as to where you fell because we had a couple discrepancies with my wife and I, but I see that, I'm absolutely correct. Thanks to you.
So in this conversation with your wife, at any point is she leave the argument as the winner?
Maybe in her mind.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's all that counts. Yes, that's
– But I didn't – the judge. As we were having this conversation, I started to realize there's a lot of foods out there with actually pretty high floors.
Yeah.
Right? That it's not so bad. It's not crazy bad.
Even toasted ravioli?
Toasted.
Which, if you don't know, that's a St. Louis thing.
It's a St. Louis thing. I've only had it there, and so I think I've only had the same type of
toasted ravioli. I think it's a high floor because in a low ceiling.
Say this. My wife and I probably disagree. You can get ravioli at Chef Boyardee, and she'll call that an incredibly low floor.
Yeah.
But I think it's edible.
I do, too.
How about chocolate cake?
See, I don't like chocolate cake. I mean, I don't – chocolate cake, to me, it's all the same. It's all – that range is so skinny for me.
Not if it's molten.
Well, again, we're talking about just molten cakes then.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm fine. Mm. They're all – to me, they're all the same. They're all the same.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah. I mean, like if it's one-off bad chocolate cake, it's because something was sat out too long or something else. I agree. I think chocolate cake is generally the same.
It's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much discrepancy at all between chocolate cakes.
All right. Well, good topic. So
thank you.
Figured out that a little bit. Omar, before we lose you to boredom here, you got your hat on. Wish we could all see you. But what's your topic this week?
So I had a couple of ideas. And, you know, I went to one of my bestie's weddings a few weeks ago. Someone that you guys know.
Oh, really?
Yep. McGinnity.
Obviously that we weren't invited to.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good friend.
And so I'm at the wedding, and I realized at the ceremony, I'm never going to get fucking married. And
you just realized this?
I know, but I'm really sure.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
They're at the church.
Yeah.
Okay. And they do the whole walking up the aisle thing.
Yeah, that happens. You know what I mean?
We're sitting at those pews.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they get up on stage or whatever that thing's called, the dais, right? With the church guy. And
yep, the church guy, yeah.
And then they look at the audience and then they look at each other. And I swear, their faces are as close as like mine to a mic, like it's must
your
have
microphone.
Been 2 inches, 2 inches apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They stared at each other at least 17 to 18 minutes. And seriously, how long do you have to stare at somebody? Why? What is up with this, with these pagan rituals?
Listen, this is the reason you won't get married?
What's the longest, Josh, that you stared at your wife before?
What does staring mean? I mean, it's like to just look into her eyes. It's not long. I don't do that with anyone. It gets awkward after, 30 seconds. I think it's like our wedding. I have to go back and look at the tape, but we weren't 2 inches apart.
But look, I've been to a lot of weddings, and there's always some semblance of that nonsense. We got look at each other.
Of course.
Well, they're giving, they're vowing their lives to each
making,
other. You want to have eye contact.
But everybody else staring at you while that's going on. You know what I mean?
It's a ritual. Yeah. It's a global ritual, actually.
Look,
it's
we were
everywhere.
Just talking earlier about David is, can I say David?
No. What?
Can you say what?
About what you're going to enter a new phase of your life. David, everyone, we want to let you know he's transitioning.
He's into a grandfather.
He's already the third ranked women's tennis player on the circuit.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
Automatically.
True.
No, David is going to be a grandfather.
Yeah.
Right.
He let everyone know.
Yeah, and David is going to have his choice of his own name of what his grandchildren call him.
Right.
I hope.
It's very rare. Our listeners know this. It's very rare that David has anything close to an original thought about anything, much less any creativity. So Josh and I are very, very, very proud of him, right?
Yes.
So similarly, fair enough, Josh. If I ever did get whatever hitched, I will do a completely reverse anti-ceremony.
Interesting. Oh. What does that mean?
You back to back?
Yeah,
you'll stare. You'll stand on the altar, or in a pit. You'll stand. Everyone else will walk down the aisle. You'll be staying in a pit, back to back to each other. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to see her that day during the ceremony.
During the ceremony, you don't want to see her at the ceremony.
Well, just not a lot, right? Because we're going to see each other for the rest of our lives.
Well, she's one lucky lady.
Yeah.
Listen, I had these same stupid things when I was a teenager. I told my buddies, and I'm ashamed of this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I said, and I swear to God, I said this. I said, I'm not going to get my fiance whenever I get engaged. I said, whenever I get engaged, I'm not going to get her a ring because it's the biggest waste of money you could imagine.
Yeah.
You're going to spend, because what do they tell you to spend, like 3 months' salary or something crazy
something.
Like that, or
mm-hmm.
6 months, whatever it is. You're going to work all that time to buy one piece of jewelry that, by the way, everyone's like, oh, it's an investment. It's not an investment because you never sell it. If you don't have plans to sell it, it's not an investment. To you know what I'm saying? So there goes that out the window.
Okay.
And so that's a lot of money to spend on one piece. So I said, what would be amazing is if I got my fiance an engagement portfolio, which I swear I said this to my friends out loud. I'll get her an engagement portfolio, and then at a certain time, it'll become worth X plus.
Portfolio then, stocks?
Yeah, portfolio. Yeah, it could be a portfolio.
Instead of the ring?
Instead of the ring,
okay.
It's more practical, engagement portfolio, and then at a certain point, you can get the ring and have the portfolio still, and that would pay, no pun intended, dividends, and then you could do other things with it. with the amount of money that you spend on an engagement ring. Well, now, of course, once I got engaged, I didn't do that. I bought a ring like every other schmuck.
This woman suffered enough. Yeah.
Right.
Poor woman.
But that was in my stupid adolescent brain that would make more sense, and that's what I was
thinking. No, I love the idea. Don't get a ring.
Yeah,
You get 10 stocks to pick. I'll buy it for the amount that the ring has. We'll wait 10 years.
Same amount. Yeah.
And then we'll take that money, and you can buy whatever you want with it.
Correct.
Ring, whatever. I love
it. By the way, speaking of the whole
makes
ring.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense.
I love it.
I like this idea because if you give somebody a ring to get engaged, okay, and then you no longer get engaged.
Yeah.
What is the who would math?
So I've seen this on Judge Judy several times.
I did this.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you did do
awkward,
this.
Awkward moment.
Right.
Yeah. But do I have any – I never asked for the ring back.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Now that I say I've seen this, I have seen it, but I don't remember what the ruling was. But I think it's a gift, and once a gift – happens that you that's it it's
we're the wrong ones to but yeah people listening to this are like oh my gosh I think that's the etiquette too right
I think that's the law too I think that's it I don't think you have a right to that ring back unless I think ethically if the woman breaks off the engagement talking about a heterosexual marriage here because that was yours Omar if the woman breaks off the engagement I think ethically, she should give the ring back. But if the man does it, or the let's say the giver of the ring does it, no, you don't have a right. You don't have a right to get it back.
But would he be a jerk for asking? I guess if he called it off and wanted the ring back.
Yes. Now, if his heart is broken and she calls off the engagement, he's devastated and asks for the ring back. 100% in his
corner.
Good.
Yeah.
All good.
Well, what if it's the portfolio of stocks? What do you do then?
Yeah, because then there's capital gains tax that you're going to have to deal with, come tax time.
Well, it depends on how long you held it. I mean, usually engagement is going to be greater than a year, right? So maybe it's income tax then.
It could be, that's
it. Do you guys fully subscribe not just to the pomp and circumstance?
Pomp and circumstance.
What?
You say pomp? You said pomp and circumstance.
I said pomp.
Pomp?
Yeah, again, it sounds like pomp.
P-O-M-P.
Yeah.
Is it palm or pomp?
Pomp. Pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, P-O-M-P.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's lost all meaning because we've said it too much.
So my point is, besides that, do you guys actually really subscribe to the institution of marriage? Let me finish this question. How many of your friends?
Yeah.
What is it? There's a 50% divorce rate?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
But the people who stay married, how many of them actually really want to get divorced too?
Good question. I'm sure there's a percent. Yeah.
Of course.
Right? So why would I take a bet when there is an over 50% chance I'm going to get fucked?
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah. The romantic in you, is insane.
Because marriage and all this stuff is not a matter of rationality.
Wait, hold on. Can I say one more thing? And my other problem with marriage is that you fuck everybody else. Because if you get separated,
all
of a sudden your friends got to start picking fucking shit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, this just happened to you.
Well, I mean, it's like black on black crime. It's fucking real.
Well, hold on. Time out. Let's go back.
Now we're going to get some emails. Now we're getting some emails.
Yeah, right. I need to respond to your question. I 100% buy into the institution of marriage, especially as my wife will be listening to this episode. 100%. It's on.
I do as well.
No question. And it's not irrational, Josh. Why would it be?
I didn't say it's irrational. I'm just saying it's not. You cannot think about marriage in a very sit down pros and cons rational way. That's not how it works. At least in my mind.
That's not true.
You either take the leap with someone or you don't. And you
the tax benefits, the family. I mean, there's all kinds of. I'm saying I love my wife. It's not
touché.
A lot of practical
tax benefits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's true. It's true.
Well, I mean, look, if someone's a great cook, okay, I'm willing to listen.
Yeah.
All right? Because that was one thing I'm like, oh, my God, this is kind of cool. There's, like, good food every night.
Yeah. You know, you're dismissing the actual feelings as well.
What are those?
Yeah. Well, that's part of it. Right. Yeah, that might be part of it.
Josh,
well,
let me ask you this. Your relationship with your wife, high floor or low floor?
I'm trying to think what's the better one. It's the high floor. High floor.
High floor. Yeah, me too. Yeah. High floor.
Yeah,
high floor.
Right.
Which one of your wives do you think would most likely be happily married to me?
Oh, God. Yeah.
I can't imagine that my wife would enjoy you at all. I
really?
I think she finds you very interesting and humorous and all that, and she loves listening to you. But I can't think of two different people. I honestly,
that's true. That's
can't think. Right. I mean, yeah. Josh,
my you, wife. I think my wife would have more tolerance for you.
Okay, so Josh
that right. way, and your antics. But I think she'd grow very, very exhausted with you as well, yeah. as
you,
I have.
Which one of your wives has a better laugh?
A better laugh.
Yeah, that's what I care about.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Laugh is fine.
Like, are your wives eager to laugh? Because I don't need someone
yes.
who's funny.
Yes. Yes.
I need someone yes. who yes. likes yes. to laugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think there's two kinds of people. People yeah. who laugh at jokes, and there are people who try to think of the next joke that someone after someone told a joke,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am that second person. I can never just laugh and enjoy.
Enjoy
I have
it.
To think, like, what am I going to say now? Josh, you're 100% that way. Omar, you're 100% that way. We're all the podcast exists because of it.
I like to think I laugh too.
No, no, you
no,
don't.
No, you respond to every – oh, for sure.
Come on. That's true. I do. It's but in so my head, difficult. I'm laughing.
No, because you resent me, I think. Maybe because
yeah,
of the religion thing.
So
I'm
funny.
Not sure.
It might
but
be.
Yeah, yeah. You when I say anything of any humor, you scowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really gets under my skin.
It makes him angry. But I think my wife is a pure enjoyed laugher. Like, I think she.
That's great.
And it's great because, yeah, it's, if you have a marriage of two people who are fighting for, you know, the jokes, I think that's not a great, great situation.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I had an ex like that. She was a comedian and she always wanted
you
to.
You did.
Have,
you dated a comedian. I remember that period. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go?
She was.
That
great.
Was much funnier than Omar, so Omar had to end that.
You ended it, yeah.
Nah, she was great. Nah, she's married. She's very happy now. She's fantastic, but she was very funny.
Hey, to go back to the thing you mentioned, Omar, about looking each other in your eyes, have you? I'm gonna blow your mind with this, but have you heard of this study? I just read it someplace else, but there was a study back, and I looked it up in 1989. They took strangers and they had to look into each other's eyes for 2 minutes, and what they found. Yeah. Is after the 2 minutes, they started to feel mutual feelings of love for each other.
Get the hell out of here. People they never met. People they never met.
Never met. Strangers. In 2003, the study found that the longer someone stared into each other's face, the more they became attracted to that person. So
really?
Staring at each other for a long time, which is an interesting idea. Like if you have dinner with someone and there's a yeah. lot of eye contact, does that,
yeah.
does that get weird? I can't ever say that I have – fallen into that, but of course, because my wife listens, that would never happen. But
yeah, but eye contact is very different than staring. Because with eye contact, with the conversation, you look around.
Okay, fair.
You're not locked in,
right?
You know what I mean? And eye contact I find for a prolonged period gets very creepy and weird.
But if you're forced to force your way through 2 minutes of it, you start to fall in love with that person.
Listen, I've never done that experiment, but I would think I'd want to kill them more than I'd want to be with them.
Well, Omar, you're the only one on this group that can give this a try. Can you do
Omar,
that?
Omar, go find a stranger. Go find a stranger in the streets of Puerto Rico and lock eyes for 2 minutes.
Would you do that for the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and there's actually a set of questions that scientifically were proven to have people fall in love. It's like 32 questions. There, okay. Another study that was done.
Well, I have to look that up. What's you ask a person 32 questions by the end of it, they're in love with you?
Yeah.
The questionnaire?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Every question is, do you love me yet?
And do you want $1 million? Like, do you want $1.5 million? Yeah, $2 million.
I mean, I think that, like, it's important that you guys, you know, It's the 36 questions that lead to love. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? That's one of the questions.
An icebreaker question.
Would you like to be famous in what way?
Mm. Yeah, well, these are good questions to get to know somebody, I think, and know how they think and what they. Well,
with compatibility. Yeah. Well, that's if you're a good listener, I guess then people will fall in love with you. Well, anyway, that staring in each other's eyes, somehow that's the marriage has picked up on that, the ceremony, that you lock eyes together.
Yep.
And then the food, the whole stuff, you gotta say thank you for the food. You
have
to talk to people at the table.
You gotta do this stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's one night, Omar.
It's one night.
But then it's the rest of your life after that.
Yeah, then it's the rest of your life. You don't have to do that crap ever again, except for other people's weddings.
So which discourages you more, Omar, the one night of the wedding or the rest of your life with what that person?
Sounds like the one night is worse than the rest of your life for him.
That's the thing, guys. I'm actually unable to even get past that the first night.
Yeah.
It's a real hurdle in marriage for you.
Yeah. I could see that.
You know what I mean? Do you guys think I'm going to get married? You guys don't think I'm going to get married.
No, I used to think you would get married.
Yeah, he's going to get to an age where he's going to need someone to help him across the street. And
here's the deal. Omar's life is so charmed and so what's the word I'm looking for? Unnormal.
Hedonistic.
Abnormal. Not unnormal. Unnatural. Abnormal. Charmed. These are all descriptors that describe Omar's life. That there's no real period where you long for that companionship because he's flying off to St. Bart's to live in this mansion that unfortunately has no espresso machine. But there's a GoFundMe. Don't worry. I put a GoFundMe down. So that'll be solved as well. But when you have this type of capability and resources at your beck and call, you can fill these gaps of where other people in more normal worlds feel like a longing for compatibility. And maybe you do too. I don't know. But it seems like at least it's never for too long.
Yeah, I think that's going to change. I think you're going to get to the point where you're going to want a long-term relationship like marriage.
I'll find my Anna Nicole Smith then.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean?
That's a nice way to look at it.
You guys would be supportive, right, of that?
Of course,
100%.
I want to see this wedding ceremony that you're putting together.
I can't wait.
I want it to be something that involves, like, doing the opposite.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Where we come together and we leave apart, something like that. You know what I mean?
Why don't you just find a girl to marry and then make up some bullshit religion that she doesn't know about where you describe all the traditions that are things that you want at the wedding. And she just follows because she thinks she's being nice and considerate to your traditions.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's your loophole right there.
What
do you think of that?
I like that.
It's a great plan.
You're welcome.
All right, let me do my topic.
That's what we do here. We solve problems on this podcast.
Let me do my topic and we can end this. I'll be short because my life isn't as interesting as yours. But I did watch – my topic is going to be very Josh-like here.
Ooh.
Because I'm going to talk about a TV show.
Oh,
a reality TV show. I don't think we've talked about this show yet, but I heard about it from two different sources. And the first one described it, and I thought, that's insane. The second one – so they watched it and I asked about it and they said, yeah, that's what it is. And so I couldn't not watch it. It's called Naked Attraction. Have we talked about Naked Attraction?
It's a Netflix show, right?
It's on, HBO Max.
Oh, it's on HBO Max. Maybe I'm thinking of something different. Is that where the ones where the,
well, let me describe it.
Afraid.
Yeah, go ahead. Describe it.
All right. So
I've seen one episode of this.
It's the opposite of Love is Blind. Love is Blind, where they don't see each other. They just talk, and then they pick their mate, and they get married, right? Naked Attraction. You know the show? Have you heard of the show, Omar?
I think I know the show. Go ahead.
Have you heard of it?
I had Naked Attraction yesterday when I was in
all right, never mind. So they'll get – so what that happens is they get a woman who then will – and I guess they choose, but they'll have like five men that she can choose from by asking them – not asking questions.
No, she doesn't ask them anything.
By looking at them.
Yeah.
So what happens that she, so the woman walks out, they have five men behind, kind of smoke glass. Okay. Yeah. And, what the deal is the person who's doing the emceeing the show will ask her questions about herself and they'll go, okay, we're ready to reveal the first third of the five people that are in the containers. And what they do is they raise the smoke glass up to their waist and they're completely naked from
the waist down.
And so, and then she gets to walk around and say, okay, which she has to eliminate like two men at that stage. So she has to look around and look at everyone's junk and decide who she wants to eliminate based on how they look naked from the waist down. So that's phase one. Two people go. Then they raise the glass up to their necks. And then she can then look at their body without their face. And then she has to eliminate like one more or something. And they're down to two. Then at that point, she has to get naked. And then they raise the thing all the way up to the top. So now everyone's naked in the room at this point. And she gets to pick the person who she's going to go on a date with. They walk out of their container. They, hi, how are you? I'm fine. And they meet each other completely naked. And there's no boxing out any parts on this show. And then they go on a date and they don't get married or anything like that. They just go on a date and they're fully clothed and they like the show spends like 2 minutes on their date and then things over. So the whole thing is about showing these people naked. The thing that I really took away from this show is that, the thing is these aren't models necessarily. These are sort of regular.
Oh, they're normal people.
Yeah. Being naked is not attractive. That one is not equal to the other. This very quickly you go from like, yep, they're definitely naked to like, this is actually really gross. It kind of turned not that I was looking for enjoyment from it anyway, but I was really struck by how kind of like gross it is. Anyway, so you haven't seen any of these shows or any response?
So I saw this show because I heard about it and I checked it out. And I watched, what is going, is that my dog? That's my dog. And I saw one episode and I got to tell you, I couldn't even get through the episode.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through it. I thought the premise, you're like, oh, that's very different. That's, I got to check this out. I have to see what's going on here with the show. It was so creepy. It was so creepy. And the creepiest part is how they talk about the other people.
Right.
The one I saw was, it was a guy and it was like five girls and they, and he's talking about their, girl parts and like, oh, look, it's, this one's got this and this one's got, and I'm getting like nauseous. And you're right. You would think like you see like a pretty girl, like a third or whatever, and you go, oh, that's, it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it, but it's not like it's a very weird, it messes with your senses. And I was so skeeved by the show. I thought, this is not even remotely entertaining to me. And I stopped watching it. I think it's a hit, right? Aren't people watching this?
I don't understand. Yeah, I watched five seasons of it. I'm out. I can't watch anymore. I watched half a show, too. I was like, that was weird. But here's my question. What amount of money would it take for you to be on that show?
No, I'm not going to be on that show.
Zero. There's no amount of money.
I have been asked to be on a number of reality shows.
That I believe.
And I always demur.
So,
but this one I would do for free.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm kidding.
I don't think there's any amount of, well, first my wife would frown upon it for sure.
Yes, but, that would be a problem.
That would be a problem. But yeah, I don't think it, you know, before there is any amount of money that I would feel confident enough to do that show.
No, because first of all, I don't even know how you start rating sections it sounds ridiculous to say if you haven't seen the show, but if you haven't seen it, just watch a little bit of it. And maybe you're going to get the same type of feelings that Dave and I had. It was creepy weird.
I'm not watching this shit. I don't want to see naked dudes walking around. I have no interest in this stuff.
But you're not doing it to get turned on, Omar. It's like it's a psychological experiment.
Anything I watch on the telly, I'm only watching to get turned on.
On the telly.
Yeah.
It's just there's a creep factor with it. And it's not even so much like they're only showing like their certain parts.
See,
it's
look,
it's the way the main person is talking about the parts.
Okay, I have a question. All right.
It's creepy.
So if you were like a young, like, nubile, what's the word for it?
I don't bountiful
woman. Okay.
Okay.
Who is single.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had the choice of two dudes.
Yeah.
Okay. One dude watches this kind of stuff, the kind of, not kind of nonsense you guys watch. Okay. And another dude watches anime.
Yeah.
Oh God. Who do you think the bountiful woman, single bountiful woman would choose?
The reality show person.
Yeah. I got to think anime has got to be, it's 100% close to the bottom. Yeah.
Adult anime.
Yeah, you didn't make it any better. Yeah, that's
worse.
Adult anime is just basically anime where they curse and they have nudity, right?
No. There's like
I don't watch anime.
Character development.
Okay, whatever. You're watching cartoons, all right? And
with all due respect, which I'm not sure is very much for this one specific topic, Have you ever watched a Pixar movie?
Yes.
Okay. Now, wait a second. Have you not? You've never been emotionally moved?
Yes. Oh. Well, I was just about to blow up my own spot, Omar. On my flight back today, I was on Southwest, and my downloads didn't work that I downloaded the shows. I was so pissed off. So all I had was the stupid Southwest free entertainment. And one of the movies I watched, because I didn't have any interest in it, was the Minions 3 or the Rise of Gru, which is – and I felt like an idiot because, number one, I'm sitting in the middle seat between two adults, and I'm watching Gru and the Minions on my iPad. I can only imagine what these two adults are thinking, this 48-year-old
– I can tell you what they're thinking. That's funny. Yeah, I think anime – that's a good question. What would be a worse turnoff than having someone – watch anime. That's, I can't think of what genre show would be below anime.
Below anime would be if they were literally watching like the Teletubbies without children. That would be disturbing.
How do you feel about that, Omar?
I don't think you guys, first of all, you're not bountiful women, so you don't understand their perspective.
Fair enough.
Do you think bountiful women are attracted to men who watch anime? Is that what you're telling us?
I'm saying if the first of all, adult anime.
Women don't watch anime. Most women don't. But very few women watch anime. I guarantee the skew on anime is like 90-10.
That's an interesting question. We have to go to the scoreboard for that.
It's 90-10.
I think versus people who watch reality television show, I would push back on that.
I'm trying to go to the Google machine here to see. It's not going to be quick to get to that answer, but
you don't need it, Dave. I know the answer because 40, I know mankind. And
40 to 50% or more of convention attendees at any major anime are women.
Come on,
boom!
All right, maybe I stand corrected.
Well, that's because they're paid to dress up and show up at the place.
They're the ones who are paid to dress as those, pigtail.
Is that the women you're referring to that are dressed up as?
I think it's Laura Croft. In the
U.S., it's 65% men, 35 women. In like,
where are you getting these stats from?
I'm on projectanime.org.
that's a loaded organization. We all know that. No one could trust anything from Project Anime.
Yeah, that's their goal.
Their polling is completely non-scientific, and everybody knows it.
All right. Well,
you guys, I have this new thing I do because I find a lot of my friends, including you, are sometimes conversationally challenged. So I have a couple. I think I'd like to end the show by asking each of you a question, and I want each of you to answer it. Okay, we'll do three questions. Okay, first question. What fashion trend did you follow when you were younger, which is very cool then, but now looks ridiculous? Do you guys have an answer to the question?
Yeah, I used to wear Umbros everywhere. Remember Umbros, shorts. Those soccer shorts? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I had like 50 pairs of Umbros.
I was in the preppy stage in high school where you wore those boat shoes or docksiders. We all wore those.
Docksides, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I like those.
Okay.
Mine was Isabel Lacoste Izod shirts.
All right. I wore those too.
Yeah.
I had a couple of those.
Which of your personality traits would you most like to change?
None.
Personality traits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll say my, oh God, my stubbornness. Although I really don't want to change that.
I wouldn't like to be afraid
of
flying
anymore. See what I did there?
Yeah.
But it is my stubbornness.
I'm too much of a perfectionist. I'd like to change that. I'm too much of a perfectionist. That's right.
Interesting. What about you, Omar?
I wish I was more patient with, yeah.
But you have written on your chest, patience.
No, ego and greed.
No, you also have something about patience written on your body.
I do?
I think you do.
Go check it out.
Don't you have something that says be more patient or be, maybe I'm wrong. Are you going to get that? I thought you talked about it at one point.
Maybe. Oh, maybe. Yeah. And last one, ready? Who is the most optimistic person that you guys know?
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but if I say someone, you wouldn't know who it is.
How about the three of us?
Oh, the three of us? Is that what you mean? Or in total, in our
No,
whole
I
life?
Was just saying so that the answer is interesting to people listening. Cause they
yeah,
say Bill.
I could say like, right, that doesn't mean anything.
What's going on with your camera?
Yeah,
I think Omar and his business right now, I think he is the most optimistic person.
I agree with that. Yeah, he's pretty gung-ho and very glass half full.
Yeah.
Well, that's because of the data points, including having you two Nimrods believe it.
Thank you. Hey, you wonder why I'm so optimistic.
Don't tell anybody.
All right. Well, why don't we wrap this show up? I got to get dinner. I don't know if you've
I got to get dinner. I'm starving.
All right. Well, we appreciate you listening to the show. Tune in next time when we'll have three more topics. Please go to your email address and send us a message of hello, hi, anything you want. Just anything, please. friends@fts.media. But until next time, we'll talk to you then. See you later, everybody.
See ya.
Smell ya.